Amen. For a good message today, Matt. Thanks. Appreciate that. Welcome. Happy Monday to all of you. I want us to open up our Bibles or our smartphones up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 984. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 25. After I'm done reading this scripture, keep your Bibles open if you could. Hear the word of the Lord. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Keep your Bibles open if you would. As we've said in the previous chapels, the Apostle Peter is writing a letter to Christians who are trying to comprehend how to follow Jesus in a secular, pluralistic world, where the ruling officials had unlimited power, which most of the time was employed for self-promotion and gain, regardless of the impact on the people under their authority, where slavery was legal, which gave permission to label and treat certain people groups as subhuman and less than, where marriage was not held in high esteem, and where women were regularly treated as a commodity to be used, where young people were seen to have little value and thus were provided minimal or no rights or very little voice. And you know what the Apostle Peter says to these Christians under the rule of Rome? He says, "Hupo teso." To those who were slaves, he says, "Hupo teso." To wives, "Hupo teso." To young people, "Hupo teso." "Hupo teso," when translated from Greek to the English, means accept the authority or to be subject to. He uses this term, "Hupo teso," four times in his letter. Check it out. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Accept the authority of every human institution. 1 Peter 2, 18. Accept the authority of your masters. 1 Peter 3, 1. Accept the authority of your husbands. 1 Peter 5, 5. Accept the authority of the elders. It seems that Peter is acquiescing to the dominant culture by promoting a posture of tolerance and compromise. But really what Peter is advocating is a greater vision that is consistent with the other biblical writers, especially the Apostle Paul. It is a vision that originates in the heart of God. And the ancient Hebrew people gave this vision a name, Shalom. It means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. Shalom, in other words, are the way things are supposed to be before sin entered into this world. And it's the way things will be when the Messiah comes. The Messiah, the one who will be sent by God to put all things right. And in the first part of his letter, Peter makes it crystal clear that Jesus is the Messiah and that he has come to usher in this reality of shalom. And how does Jesus, the Messiah, usher in this new age, this kingdom of God? Peter answers this question in our text this morning by citing an Old Testament text from Isaiah 53, a prominent messianic text referring to the Messiah as the willing, suffering servant. Listen to a portion of Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." The Messiah will bring wholeness. The Messiah will bring healing. These are hints that God's shalom has come. And it is inaugurated by Jesus when he willingly subjected himself for others. And Peter now tells these young Christians that he is writing in verse 21 of our text, they should follow in the steps of Jesus, which is a call for Christians to bring about shalom, the kingdom of God, in the same way Jesus did. Not through power, not through force, not through coercion, but through hopoteso, willingly subjecting oneself to serve others for the greater purpose. This is the charge that Peter gives to Christians under Roman rule, to those who are slaves, to those who are wives, to those who are young. Hopoteso, willingly subject yourselves to serve others so that, this is key, so that they in turn might live out God's ordained charge to bring about shalom as well. Where ruling institutions, governments, kingdoms, presidents, politicians, and officials would ensure justice and order and equality so its citizens would all flourish. Where those in charge, CEOs, managers, supervisors, employers, would nurture honesty and integrity and fairness so that all its employees would flourish. Where husbands and men would outdo one another in showing honor and respect and love so that their wives and all women would flourish. Where elders and older people would cultivate value and care and concern so that all young people would flourish. Are you catching the God-ordained vision of shalom? Universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. Author Neil Plantinga, in his book, Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, builds on this vision of shalom when he writes this. It would include, for instance, strong marriages, secure children. Nations and races would treasure differences in other nations and races as attractive, important, and complementary. In the process of making decisions, men would defer to women and women to men until a crisis arose, and then with good humor all around, the person most naturally competent in the area of the crisis would resolve it to the satisfaction and pleasure of both. Government officials would still take office, but to nobody's surprise, they would tell the truth and freely praise the virtues of other public officials. Business associates would rejoice in one another's promotions. Middling Harvard students would respect the Phi Beta Kappas from the University of Southern North Dakota in Hoople and would seek to learn from them. All around the world, people would stimulate and encourage one another's virtues. Newspapers would be filled with well-written accounts of acts of great moral beauty. And at the end of the day, people on their porches would read these and savor them and call to each other about them. And above all, God would preside in the unspeakable beauty for which human beings long and in the mystery of holiness that draws human worship like a magnet. Shalom. Shalom is all of God's creation willingly subjecting to serve each other so that all of God's creation would flourish. Recently, I was reading that millennials, people born roughly between 1980 and the year 2000, which is most of you sitting in this sanctuary this morning, have a strong desire to make a deep and long-lasting positive impact in this world. Or as President, or as Kid President would say, you have a strong desire to what? Make the world more awesome, which is sweet, which is good. I've seen and I've observed and I've listened and I see it in you. There's a longing for more. And the more is found in God's determination to bring about his vision of shalom, the kingdom of God, through his son Jesus and through you, the church, people like you and me. And he does it through hupotasso, willingly subjecting ourselves to serve others, whatever our position, whatever our gender, whatever the season of life we are in, hupotasso, for the greater reality of God's shalom, God's kingdom. So what are you waiting for? Get out of here, go do your part, and bring about God's shalom, God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.